You are listening to The Scroll, an audiobook about Ecclesiastes written and read by Vance Neudorf. This is Chapter 2. Kohelet read his opening statement aloud and chuckled. If he had received even one small coin for each discussion over his premise that all human endeavors were futile, he would be richer than the king. Often those discussions had turned into arguments, for people were quick to assume he was saying their lives were completely meaningless. Countless times he had explained that his teaching was not about finding meaning, but rather about how to enjoy the good things life had to offer in the day at hand, instead of always looking for a future reward from their work. Some got angry, for his words were a direct assault on their deep-seated dreams of one day getting ahead by working just a little harder or smarter. He dipped his pen into the ink. His repetitive use of futile to introduce his talks was always followed by the question every human asked, whether he or she would admit it or not. He touched the nib to the scroll and carefully scratched out the words he'd voiced a thousand times, both to himself and to those he sought to teach in the way of the wise. For what do we gain from all the work at which we toil under the sun? The question always generated a quick response. Most pointed to their possessions, a better house, a new cart, a bigger market stall. There was no end to things people toiled to achieve, and no denying their honest belief that they had gained something substantial in life when they acquired it. But he had observed human labor from every vantage point, and discovered that gaining something truly lasting from work was simply not possible. Getting ahead was not part of the equation. Lasting gain was not obtainable. The word he'd used for gain was yithron, a marketplace word everyone knew, for yithron described the cash left over after all the expenses had been paid. It was a foundational business principle, but it was also how people viewed their lives as a whole. They believed that if they made an extra coin each day, their lives were moving forward, that they were slowly getting ahead. Their growing pile of coins proved that their hard work provided a lasting benefit. Life would be better tomorrow, and their future would be more secure. The pursuit of yithron got them up each day to chase the dream, but they could not see that that pursuit was vapor, hebel, just the ongoing pursuit of futility. The shaft of light from the rising sun crept closer to his jar of ink. The new day was already being marked and spent, and it was this relentless passing of time that was the driving force behind all human need to get ahead in life. Everyone needed to believe that what he or she was doing was worthwhile. Each day spent was also one less one to live. They were investing their very lives into the pursuit of lasting gain. He flicked another remnant of the previous writer's work from the scroll's surface. Each generation since the beginning of time had tried to make its mark on the world, but to no avail. The endless cycles of nature would always rub away whatever people thought they had left behind. The words of an old poem said it best. He dipped the pen into the ink and carefully formed the words. A generation comes, and a generation goes, but the earth is not changed. The sun rises, the sun sets, then hurries back to where it rises again. The wind blows to the south, then turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. The streams all flow to the sea, and yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams came from, there they return again. Kohelet leaned back in his chair. He had memorized those lines in the king's library, but it hadn't been until he was free of the palace walls and had time to walk about in the hills that the ongoing cycles of nature and the permanence of the earth had finally hit home. In the city, with all the recent construction projects, it appeared that mankind was winning. The effects of decline and decay were continually covered over with new paint, and a veneer of gold covered the base materials below. City dwellers found it easier to believe that mankind was making a monumental mark on the world, that they were marching together into a glorious future. But out in the countryside, he had walked over the ruins of ancient cities, now just mounds of weed-covered debris. Nature won in the end. No matter how hard people worked, all their achievements would someday return to the earth. Dust to dust was more than a personal journey of cradle to corpse. It was the story of everything human. The sunlight slipped over the lip of the ink jar, its rays reflecting off the glistening black pool. There was enough ink in that clay jar to fill many scrolls, but there would always be more words. People were constantly chattering about new events and ideas. The old referred to former days and how much the world had changed, while the young talked eagerly about new ways of doing things, about inventions that would make their lives better and bring prosperity. Everyone talked incessantly, as if trying to convince each other that humanity was actually moving forward. But the essential nature of human existence under the sun was not changing. The fundamental principles remained constant no matter how much people talked about new things. Kohelet touched his pen into the ink, scattering the sun's reflection across the desk. Everything goes on in endless cycles, yet our mouths never tire of speaking. Our eyes never finish looking, and our ears never get their fill of listening. How we live and work under the sun does not change, and even though people say, things are different now, it was this way long before we were born. We have forgotten what happened before our time, and in the future the memory of what is taking place now will also vanish. He placed the pen beside the jar and shook out his cramped hand. Sunlight slanted across the scroll, and his first shiny pen strokes were drying and losing their luster. The door creaked. Kohelet pushed back from the desk. Benjamin had finally arrived with his breakfast, but the scroll could not be rolled away with some of the ink still wet. Benjamin's deep voice resonated over his shoulder. "So you have finally begun." Kohelet pushed the scroll back on the desk to make room for Benjamin to set down the bowl. "I had to do something with breakfast coming so late every morning." Benjamin ignored the jibe. "Be careful, master. Don't smear your work. Your letters are beautifully formed. You have not lost your touch." Kohelet had long since given up on telling Benjamin to quit calling him master. The title was from the days when Benjamin had first come to the library as a slave to move the heavy clay tablets arriving daily from the four corners of the world. At that time, he had been Benjamin's master, but down here, they were equals, or maybe not, for by giving in to Benjamin's badgering about the scroll, the tables had turned, and now Benjamin was in charge. A large ebony hand set a steaming bowl on the front edge of the desk. Benjamin was one of the tallest men Kohelet had ever met. Originally from the upper reaches of the Nile, he was an Ethiopian with skin as dark as Kohelet's ink. His wide face was pleasant, and his smile contagious. He had been brought to Jerusalem as a slave from Egypt to join the king's elite bodyguard, but Benjamin was a gentle giant. When they could not train him for combat, he ended up serving as muscle for the heavy lifting required in the library. Benjamin gingerly picked up the scroll, his hands dwarfing the wooden rollers. His smile broadened further, and he angled it toward the window. "May I read it?" Kohelet nodded. When he had taught Benjamin to read, he had opened a door in Benjamin's life, and the young man had charged through it. At times he had gone missing in the archives, and Kohelet had found him bent over the scroll he had been set to fetch, his face deeply furrowed in concentration. Unfortunately, Benjamin's passion for scrolls had not gone unnoticed by Daniel, Kohelet's apprentice librarian. Kohelet's jaw tightened at the recollection. He had been too trusting of Daniel and had failed to see how the man was positioning himself to forcibly take over the library. Daniel had used Benjamin's love of scrolls to spring his trap and force them both to flee the palace under a cloud of accusation and suspicion. Recalling the devious speed of those events still angered him. All the plan had taken was the missing Genesis scroll and then a fire in the courtyard, and suddenly both he and Benjamin were on the run. Now Benjamin spoke from behind the scroll, the shadow of his shaved head falling on its translucent skin. "This is a great beginning, master. It captures your teaching well, but you must also tell the readers why they should trust you. They need to know you have read all the wisdom books in the world. Truly you are as wise as the king, since you have transcribed everything he has read." "Then maybe he should write it for me." Benjamin peered over the scroll. "Or you should write it for him." Kohelet paused, a spoonful of porridge in midair. "What do you mean?" "Master, we both know of times when an author took on a different personality, a recognized vantage point from which to state his case." "That is true, but from the king's viewpoint, that seems a little rash given our recent history in the palace." Benjamin raised his eyebrows. "But you are the only one who can speak about all the work the king has done, his great projects, his incredible wealth, his parties, and his many wives. There is no one who can write from his perspective as well as you. And since it would be well written, the king could only be flattered if people thought it was him doing the writing." Qohelet finished the last bite of his porridge as he considered Benjamin's words. Wisdom writers sometimes assumed a role as they presented a proverb or teaching. His advantage was that he understood the world both from the perspective of the people in the palace and the common folk in the marketplace. He knew without a doubt that the question, "What do I gain from all my hard work?" was a cry from every heart, from every time and place since creation. Implying a royal position of wealth and power would guarantee a wider audience. It would be a great platform for his message. He motioned for Benjamin to bring the scroll back to the table and pushed the bowl aside. Benjamin spread the scroll before him, and Qohelet stared at it. A sentence formed in his mind. He hesitated, glancing up to catch Benjamin's hopeful grin. Qohelet swept up his pen and immersed the tip into the ink. You have been listening to The Scroll, Chapter 2, a story of the writing of the book we now refer to as Ecclesiastes. You can discover more of Qohelet's writings at artofwork.ca, bringing ancient wisdom to life. Thanks for listening.